The only difference between a child in the womb and a child in the cradle is just the location. Both are children. Both are called a child in the Word of God. So if you terminate them, if you abort them, then you're terminating a child or you're terminating children.
We want to thank you for joining us tonight as we move on to the subject of abortion. We want to look at whether it's right or whether it's wrong, but we want to look at it through the eyes of our Bibles, the eyes of God's holy word. Stay tuned as we explore what the Bible says about this heated issue.
As my son announced in the beginning, we are looking at the subject of abortion tonight in our broadcast. This is a subject that has divided our great nation. It's a very hot political issue. Well, I believe it's a Bible issue. And I think one of the problems we have or as a nation is that we look at it as just a political issue when it's a Bible issue and a moral issue. Our opinions on it must be based on the Word of God. How you feel about the subject of abortion shouldn't be held by whatever political party you're associated with. How you feel about abortion should be based on God's Word. That's the basis for what we believe. We shouldn't have what we believe or own to what we believe just because a particular party holds or don't hold to it. What we base our opinions on needs to be the unerring word of Almighty God. Let's ask a couple questions. Is abortion a sin? Of course, that's debated much. Is abortion a sin? Is abortion a breaking of the commandment, thou shalt not murder? Well, today in this broadcast, we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to look and see if it indeed is abortion indeed legalized murder? Is it a sin? Is it a breaking of the commandment, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder? So we'll seek to answer that in the broadcast by going to the Word of God. Now, I think to determine the answer to those questions, is it a sin, is it murder, I think what we have to do is determine what is in the womb. I think the bottom line, you can throw in all the arguments you want to, but I think the bottom line to whether it is murder or not is determined by what is in the womb. What is in the womb? And of course, the Bible defines for us what is in the womb. It don't make no difference what your college professor says, or it don't make no difference what the liberal politician says. What makes a difference is what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God define what is in the womb? How does it define it? That's what we're going to do just tonight in this radio broadcast. When a woman is pregnant, the Bible uses different words to describe what's in the womb. There's about four that we're going to look at tonight in the broadcast. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what they are. It defines what is in the womb as a child or as children. It defines what's in the womb as a babe. It defines what is in the womb as a son. And it also, the word infant is also used to define what's in the womb. So we're going to look at all four of those in the text tonight that they're used in. Abortion, of course, is the termination of life in the womb. And I think this is the reason why in this radio broadcast, this is such an important issue, is for us to go back and look and see what the Bible defines what is in the womb. Our first one we're going to look at in the book of Luke chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, to be taxed with Mary, talking about Joseph and Mary, whenever she was pregnant, it says to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. It says, being great with child, being great with child. So, and there's many, you can take a concordance and look these things up. There's many examples in the Bible without us going to each one and reading them. I can just read you a couple of them. That should be enough. But whenever a woman was pregnant in the Scriptures, it was said that she was with child. Now, go back and think for yourself what abortion is. Abortion is the termination of life in the womb. Now, if that which is in the womb is defined by God's word as a child, then what you're doing in abortion is terminating the life of a child. But that's not really viewed as being that today. That which is in the womb is viewed as less than a child for some reason. I know where that come from. That come from the old devil himself. But that which is in the womb is a child according to the word of God. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit." The Immaculate Conception. Virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But it says that whenever she was pregnant with Jesus, it says that she was with child. Same terminology that you've seen in the book of Luke chapter 2. Whenever someone was pregnant in the scriptures, they were said to be with child. So if you terminate life that is in the womb, then you're terminating the life of a child. That's why I think this whole issue isn't about all the political nonsense that's associated with it. This whole issue is defining what is in the womb and what God's word calls it. It calls that which is in the womb, first of all, I want you to see from Scripture, you can look it up yourself, I want you to, it's called a child. It's called a child. And in many places in the Scriptures, you can look and you can see that. Now, what they've done today is, of course, they call that which is in the womb a fetus. And just like anything else, you change the name of it, you call it by a name most people don't know what it means anyway. I think the primary definition, a fetus might not be a bad thing, but most people don't know what it means. A fetus makes it less than human. And it also makes them easier to kill when you call them by a different name. I think you need to call that which is in the womb exactly what God's word calls it. When a woman's pregnant, she's not with fetus, she's with child. She has a child in her womb. Now, if we would begin to today to define a pregnant woman as being with child, and folks, that makes it much harder for people to kill them, to abort them, to terminate them, whatever you want to call it. That's the reason why this message is so very, very important, because you need to call the little one exactly what it is. That which is in the womb is a child. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, we are told about Isaac and Rebekah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, Isaac, one of the great patriarchs, he was married to a woman by the name of Rebekah, and she would bear twins. Now, notice what these twins in the womb are called. Verse 21, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her." Here, the two twin boys that were in her womb were called children. Now, folks, a baby or a child or children don't miraculously become a child or children when they're out of the womb. The only difference between a child in the womb and a child in the cradle is just the location. Both are children. Both are called a child in the Word of God. There's no difference. The only difference is the location. One's in the womb, one's in the cradle or whatever, but they're both, according to the Word of God, still children. So if you terminate them, if you abort them, then you're terminating a child or you're terminating children. And I'm just going by the Word of God tonight, as we're always supposed to anyway. To me, that's the bottom line of the whole issue for God's people. Our loyalty as God's people is to our God and to His Word. And our mind and our opinions must be based totally upon the Word of God, not to any political affiliation that we may have. And that's one of the problems today in our land. Many times we're more loyal to our political parties than we are to our God. Our God's our King. Folks, my citizenship, though I'm a citizen of America, I'm a citizen also of the kingdom of God. So earth isn't our final home. We're ambassadors here, and we're just passing through. And the way we live our lives and the decisions that we make about things must be based on the Word. So what does the Word of God calls that which is in the womb? Number one, it calls them a child, and it calls them children. And I give you the text for those. You go look those up. People get mad over these type things, but you don't have to get mad at me. All I'm doing is just telling you what God's Word calls that which is in the womb. And I'm telling you, one of the things they've done today is change the name of what you call that which is in the womb, which makes it easier to terminate them. Makes it easier for women to get rid of them. But if you would go back to calling them exactly what the Word of God calls them, then it makes it sound barbaric, and again, it is barbaric for someone to kill a child, for someone to kill children. Number two, what's the next thing the Word of God calls a child? I told you in the beginning, calls them a child and children. Whenever a woman's pregnant, it says that they are with child. We should get in a habit of saying that in the church. When our ladies are pregnant, we should get in the habit of saying that they are with child, so that the young people, so that the little ones can hear that all the way up, so that they can learn to recognize that which is in the womb and what it is. Luke chapter 1, and in the verse 41, Elizabeth, of course, was the mother of John the Baptist. And, of course, Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were cousins. And that would mean Jesus and John the Baptist, according to the flesh, would be cousins also. Well, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist here in the book of Luke chapter 1. This was told to Mary. You can read all about this. It was told to her. Let me go ahead and read it to you in verse 36, and we'll come back and look at it later. It says, "Behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son." I'm going to come back to that statement, but I want you to notice it now. "She hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into a house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation to Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, she was 6 months pregnant with baby John the Baptist. This is who this little one would grow up to be. At this time, he's in the womb. This is the sixth month of her pregnancy. This is 6 months that she's been with child. But notice what the Bible calls that which leaped in the womb. And you ladies that are listening to me realize that babies many times move around in the womb. You can feel them moving around and kicking and so on. And it says that the babe leaped in the womb. Notice here, that which is in the womb is referred to as a babe or a baby. It's the Greek word, brephos. And it's used in several places in Scripture. And this Greek word is used to refer to a babe that's in the womb or to a babe that's out of the womb. Either way, the word is applied to both. And the reason why that is because of regardless of the location, in the eyes of Almighty God and in the eyes of the Word of God, they're babies. They didn't miraculously become a baby when they come out of the womb. They were a baby in the womb, and they were a baby when they come out of the womb. They weren't something less than a child or children or a babe when they was in the womb. They were children in the womb and babies in the womb. And when they come out of the womb, they were the same. The idea that they're less than that today has just added fuel to the abortion stats that we have in our land. Folks, you need to recognize that which is in the womb for what it is. It's a babe. Now, it says that same thing again in Luke chapter 1 and verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of salutation sounded in my ears, it says, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary, it says, the babe leaped in the womb for joy. So twice in Luke 1:41, you write them down, look them up yourself, Luke 1:41, at 6 months of pregnancy, 6 months of being with child, in Luke 1:41, it's called a baby or a babe. It's called in Luke 1:44, a babe again. Well, let me show you something interesting. Of course, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the greatest events that happened throughout history is the coming of our Master into the world to be born for the purpose of living a perfect life so he could pay our sin debt. Well, we all realize, most of you realize that I'm talking to, realize that whenever Jesus was born, that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in rags. That really wasn't unusual for Jewish women would do that. They would wrap them in rags, and that was just a common thing. I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm just telling you that was a common practice. There wasn't really nothing unusual about him being wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, being laid in the manger, a manger, of course, was a trough that animals would feed out of. Now, that was the unusual thing. But I want you to notice what the Bible says whenever Jesus was born and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger. I want you to notice what God's Word calls him. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 12, in talking to the shepherds, it says, "You shall find," this shall be a sign, I'm sorry, "unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Notice it uses the exact same word. It uses the word babe to describe what was laid in the manger. Remember, at 6 months old, in the book of Luke chapter 1, remember, it just records the how long that Elizabeth was pregnant. That which was in the womb was called a babe. Same word, brephos, Greek word brephos. Same word in Luke 1 that was used to describe Elizabeth. Whenever John the Baptist was in the womb, he was described as a babe. That same word now, that Jesus has been born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, it says that he was a babe. In Luke chapter 2, again, in verse 16, talking about the shepherds, it says, "They came with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and the babe," there you have it again, "the babe lying in a manger." Well, same word used to describe John the Baptist in the womb. He was called a babe that leaped in the womb. Same word is used to describe the babe that's lying in the manger. You say, "Well, Jeff, why are you making such a big deal of that?" Because for crying out loud, folks, it's the same thing. That which was in the womb is called a babe by the Word of God. And that which is lying in the manger is also called a babe. Why is that a big deal? Because they're both a babe, for crying out loud. If you would go and slay a child that's in a crib, a little newborn baby lying in a crib, if you would slay that child, that would be called what? That would be called murder, and rightly so. Because it would be murder to kill a child. It would be murder to terminate the life of a little baby in a crib or in a manger, as in this text. Well, if it's murder to slay a babe in a manger or in a crib, and folks, it should be called murder to slay a babe that's in the womb also. Because the Bible really doesn't see no difference between what they're called. They're called a babe, they're called a child, they're called children in the womb and out of the womb. And if it's wrong to slay them out of the womb, then it should be wrong and a sin and called murder to slay them in the womb. And I'm telling you today, folks, it's not called that whatsoever. It's not recognized that. What's in the womb is seen as something different than what's outside the womb, and that's what's made this sin so acceptable, and so widely practiced in our land. It kind of eases people's conscience when they don't recognize what is in the womb. And that's the reason why we've went to the Word of God, to let it speak to your heart with regard to what it views as being in the womb. Well, we've covered several so far. The only difference between a baby in the manger and John the Baptist in the womb is location. Whether in the womb or in the manger, they're still viewed in the eyes of God as being a baby, a child, or children. And God's people must stand on that. God's people must preach that and spread that, especially in our churches. Leave the politics out of it. It's not about politics. I'm sick of that. And stand for the truth. Stand for the truth. Is it a sin? Sure is a sin, folks. Just as much a sin to kill a child in the crib. Just as much murder to kill a child in the crib as it is in the womb. Both locations would be considered murder in light of the Word of God. And you need to view it as such. Not real popular, but real true. You see, the bottom line of this issue is it's not, you can legislate as many laws as you'd like, but it's people that make decisions to do these things. And we need to take this battle to the people. To those that, those who, those whose God's Word is the standard, need to recognize what it is and stand on it. There's some alarming stats that I've seen with regard to abortion. I've read where 1 out of 6 women that have abortions today are so-called born-again Christians. 1 out of 6. This isn't just a problem with worldly people. This is a problem in churches and so-called Christian people. 1 in 6 women that have abortions are called born-again Christians. Folks, if you're a born-again Christian, the Word of God should be your standard. And it's a termination of a child's life if you kill that child in the womb or out of the womb, a baby in the womb or out of the womb. It's both murder. Recognize what's in the womb for what it is. Number 3, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, I read this earlier to you and told you I was going to come back to it. It says, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a," she says she conceived, conception. It says she conceived a son. She conceived a what? It says she conceived a son in her old age. In other words, what does that mean? That means whenever she conceived, that child, that baby, was her son. It didn't become her son after it was born. It was her son, folks, while that child was in the womb. Called a child, children, a babe, now a son. Those are 4 words that's used to describe that which is in the womb. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, it uses another word to describe children. Luke chapter 18, it says, and this is something you know, Luke 18:15, "And they brought unto him also infants who would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked." And we know about the little children being brought to Jesus. Verse 16, "Jesus called unto them and said, suffer the little children to come to me." That word infants in verse 15 is the word brephos, from which babe comes from in the book of Luke chapter 2. When it talks about the babe in the manger or the babe that leaped in the womb. It's the word brephos here. The word infants is translated from the same word. Jesus was brought unto him children. Well, what's the difference between the children brought to him and the infants that are in the womb? What's the difference between the infants that was brought to Jesus for him to bless than an infant that's in the womb? There's no difference. Just location. It would be wrong to slay either one. And it must be viewed today by God's people as still being wrong. Folks, that's what the bottom line of this debate is. Regardless of all the political jargon that goes on with regard to it, what's important is what's in the womb. You destroy what was in the womb, you terminate, then you're terminating a child, a babe, a son, an infant, children. That's what the Word of God says. And folks, I'm going to tell you tonight that God will hold a nation accountable. God will hold a nation accountable for the shedding of innocent blood in its land. And there's no more innocent blood that's shed than the blood of a little child, the blood of a babe, the blood of an infant. In Israel, in Psalms 106, there's a song about all the sins for which God brought judgment on the nation Israel. Listen to one of the sins. Psalms 106 and verse 38. It says, they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. It goes on to say in verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people. Folks, God holds a nation accountable for the shedding of innocent blood. Many of the stats say that in our land, there's 1.3 million abortions every year. If that is true, that means there's 3,600 every day. There's 151 every hour. There's one every 24 seconds. Oh, folks, that's an alarming stat. During the length of this broadcast, there's been about 75 abortions in our land. Folks, this is an alarming stat, and God will hold a nation accountable. God will hold a nation accountable that sheds innocent blood. I pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you. I hope it's informative. We could have went in much greater detail, but all I've done this evening is just give you what I feel is the bottom line to this issue. You must define what's in the womb, and we must let the Word of God define that for us. These decisions comes down to individuals make them. And I pray if you're listening to me and you are with child, you recognize that is that as being exactly what you are. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God that you have in your womb. And I pray that you recognize it as being just that.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening. Or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.